I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. If I can entertain a motion, I would entertain a motion to approve the April 18th minutes.
I make a motion.
Ms. Hawkins?
Second.
Second. Ms. Glasper? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? If we could begin with the awards this evening, if I could ask Eve Drucke from the Planning and Development Department to come forward to award the Trash Formation Awards.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Eve Drucke, and I am the coordinator for the Resource Education Program outside of Planning and Development. I'm here to share with you some fun news and updates as we wrap up our school year working with Madison County Schools. Can everybody hear me all right? Yes. Okay. So the Resource Education Program is about to celebrate its 28th year. Its 28th year of supporting our local schools in Madison County, private and public, with logistics for recycling waste, reducing waste, educational programming, and grant funding. We have several competitions that are part of our program, and they're designed to help educate students about the wise use of our land, air, and water. This year, we had over 40 schools, which is a record, participate, with several schools lined up to participate next year for the first time. We also, this year, had for the first time, a signature curriculum series that was rolled out, created by us, and it is aligned with state, national, and district standards, and provides education about the wise use of our land, air, and resources to any and every teacher, school, or district in Madison County who wishes to use that. This all comes from tipping fees, so that is free of charge. So our teachers are able to access new materials like hands-on learning labs, downloadable books, visits from educators, and other educational opportunities for the first time this year. Contests and competitions are a big part of our program. We have the Clean Air Bookmark Competition, in which we had over 2,000 students this year compete to develop a bookmark that taught others about the importance of clean air and how residents can help create clean air. For older students, we have a photography contest in which they are invited to capture the beauty that they see when we manage our resources wisely. One of our favorite and most popular competitions is the Trash Formation Competition. We had over 700 students compete this year from across the county. And in the Trash Formations Competition, students are invited to create something new out of materials that would otherwise be discarded or recycled. And this year I made the competition a little bit harder. The students had to come up with a new product or a new object that would benefit life in Madison County. And our 700-plus students did a wonderful job. So the way that it could benefit life in Madison County is to benefit wildlife or our natural spaces, benefit residents' health, or connect them with the outdoors, or create a new product that might lead to new jobs. So we had some incredible participants who created things like biodegradable seed starters for our community gardens, or we have one of our winners with us this evening who will come up in just a moment, who created, because she was very interested in what's happening in Madison County and some of the issues happening here, she created a portable shelter for feral cats in order for them to be caught and captured and taken to a veterinarian more easily so that we might provide them with a chance at adoption or good medical care. To a student, a kindergarten student, who created a product pitch for a roof made out of recycled bike tires to, in her words, help protect Madison County residents from hail and lightning. So I was really encouraged and excited this year to see that Even our students who are as young as 5 years old found some ways to become active and engaged citizens who have something and ideas to contribute to Madison County. So we have one of our winners here with us this evening, and I would invite the chairman to come up and announce her name. She is one of the winners of our Trashformation competition, and she is highlighted right here.
Good. We have from Woodland Elementary, Edwardsville. If I could invite Representative or County Board Member Ann Gorman also to step forward. I would like to also ask Annie Bozart from Woodland Elementary to step forward. Bozart is a name that I recognize from my hometown of Bloomington, Illinois. Does that ring a bell with you? It does, okay. And then, any others? Okay, very good, Annie. Well, we have the award here that says Annie Bozart, Honorable Mention, Transformation Competition, Madison County Resource Education, 2017 to 2018, signed by Eve Drucke, Coordinator, and Matt Brandmeier, Madison County Planning and Development Director. So, next, we have our speakers, and I would like to invite Dr. Ed Hightower to come forward. And for the benefit of all the speakers, please take your time. For the benefit of all the speakers this evening, we have a three-minute time period, and after 2.5 minutes with 30 seconds remaining, I hit the gavel just as a reminder, and you're welcome to leave any notes or with our county clerk. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if you wish, I've got my whistle, and I'll let you blow it after 3 minutes. But I want to just take just a moment and thank you for the opportunity on behalf of the Leadership Council of Madison County. I want to be clear that our presence here tonight is not in any way a reflection of the commitment and work performed by this board on behalf of the citizens of Madison County. I want to just get that out there first. The Leadership Council of Madison County, LCMC, includes the NAACP branches of Alton, and we have the presidents of those organizations here with us tonight. The 100 Black Men, that's Alton, Madison, Venice, and Brooklyn. The 100 Black Men, we have the president here, Madison County Urban League, the CEO, Coalition of Concerned Citizens of Alton, also represented. This organization serves as a single voice with a goal of uniting Madison County citizens to ensure a sense of equity, equality, transparency, and inclusion for all Madison County citizens. Excellent strides, have been made during the past 18 months among organizations including Madison County, LCMC, law enforcement, education, justice, clergy, local, and state government, all aimed at improving the quality of life for Madison County citizens. Our collective effort provides the backbone, and let me underscore, the backbone for safe communities, and the avoidance of local unrest that is so evident throughout this country. This organization, and you talk to law enforcement, you talk to the various mayors of Madison County, you talk to our state's attorney, it's been a very active organization to help prevent major problems that we're reading about Ferguson across this country. Tonight, we want to be clear. When any part of Madison County and its citizens are not being treated fairly, that concerns all of us. In 2017, the Metro East Sanitary District, MESD, created an illegal special service area, taxing district, which was recently found unconstitutional by the court. This SSA taxing district would have generated up to 95 cents per $100 assessed valuation. With this amount added to the already $1.40 per $100 levied, families and small businesses would have experienced a major problem.
I'm sorry, that's 3 minutes.
Okay. Is that 3 minutes?
Yeah, it's three-minute limit.
Okay. No problem. Let me be clear. I passed this out just in case I extended to 3 minutes. Here are the four items on the back of this page that we're asking you as board members, and you have it right there in front of you, to address tonight. And I've given this to the media. Thank you.
Is Stephanie Madge here? Again, I forgot to hit the gavel with 30 seconds remaining, so the plan is that I let you speak for about 2.5 minutes, and then I hit the gavel, and you have 30 seconds remaining.
I'll try and go fast.
Thank you for having me. On Friday, May 4th, a dog was brought to animal control, and a photo was posted of her online. Her appearance was shocking, sad. It was obvious that she was in need of medical care. I called the following Monday to inquire about the dog at Madison County Animal Control, and I was told that she was found dead when employees had walked in on that Monday morning. Well, I felt devastated after that phone call. However, my emotion over that dog's lonely death, which I hope you share, really isn't the most crucial part. Animal Control employees failed to provide proper care for the dog. They violated the law. They had the responsibility to secure an appropriate course of medical treatment for her, but they did nothing. And that dog suffered unnecessarily, and this is indefensible. Now, following many emails, which I'm sure you're all aware of, I received a phone call from the vet assigned to animal control, and he was told that the employees were unsure as to how sick that dog was since she was walking around, barking, and eating. Now, that was their dubious justification for not making contact. Nobody with eyes would ever say that that dog was only questionably ill. And I recently learned that the dog had been brought in the first place because she had been hit by a car. That fact alone certainly necessitated action, never mind her obvious external condition and affect. Furthermore, we all know that animals mask their pain when they're in highly stressful situations. This incident warrants documented disciplinary action with clearly defined consequences up to and including termination for subsequent similar offenses. I've heard repeatedly that animal control is unionized. Now, I am a union educator, and I understand the dynamics of contracts. However, while contracts are binding, they are also reciprocal, and they do not exempt us from compliance with policy or with the law, and they should not insulate unsavory or inept behaviors. We are all stewards for homeless animals, but this is the most overriding for the employees at our facility. And if they are not receptive to what has repeatedly been asked of them, then frankly, I'd propose that they find another job. But in the meantime, I'd like to say that I'd love to believe that the members just incorrectly assessed a situation, but I don't even think that much effort or thought went into it. I think they just did nothing. And this dog was brought into animal control, consigned to a concrete cell, and then forgotten to die alone. So let's not let hers be one more death in vain. This is our opportunity to make a statement that this type of thing will no longer be tolerated or dismissed. And corrective action now, along with abiding by the law as we proceed into the future, are the first steps toward changing the status quo legacy of substandard to mediocre performance at Madison County Animal Control. Please support disciplinary action. Mandate that the staff of MADCO obey the law to the letter. No more animals should suffer at the hands of politics. This dog may not have been able to be spared, but she could have been spared suffering, and we all need to do better. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Jackie Spiker in the crowd? Take your time.
I'm short. First, I'd like to thank you for your time. I am also here on behalf of the animal that suffered at Madison County Animal Control. And I want, before I go into this, to say I support Madison County Animal Control officers. However, I cannot defend these actions. What I want to do is read to you the definitions, according to the Illinois Animal Welfare Act, of what an owner is. An owner means any person having a right of property in an animal, who keeps or harbors an animal, who has an animal in his or her care, or acts as its custodian. Now I want to give you the definition of animal control facility. An animal control facility means any facility operated by or under contract for the state, county, or any municipal corporation or political subdivision of the state for the purpose of impounding, harboring, seized, stray, homeless, or abandoned unwanted animals. Those are the definitions. Now I'm going to the Humane Care Act for Animals. Section 510, ILCS 70/3, Section 3, Owner's Duties. Each owner shall provide for each of his or her animals sufficient quantity of good quality wholesome food and water, adequate shelter, and veterinarian care when needed to prevent suffering. As Stephanie already addressed, this animal that was brought into animal control on Friday, May 4th, did not receive any veterinarian care whatsoever. A licensed vet did not look at the animal. And in fact, what happened was she suffered for an additional 48 hours before she succumbed to whatever injuries she had. Nobody knows because nobody professionally looked at that animal. Now what I want to go over is the state law for violating those owners' duties. The first violation of this section is a Class B misdemeanor. And as somebody who is in the animal welfare and rescue scene, we have had private people arrested for their animals looking the same way this dog did. I sent everybody on the board an email with a picture of this animal so everybody is aware of what the animal looked like. I want the board to take action and make sure that this is not acceptable and that you portray that to the public in the actions that you take against whoever it was that brought in the animal and did not contact a vet.
That's 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to now invite County Board Member Brad Maxwell to come to the front. Thank you, Brad. And I'd like to read a proclamation. Whereas Brad Maxwell is resigning after more than 4 years of service to the citizens of Madison County, Illinois, and whereas Mr. Maxwell served in District 11 of the Madison County Board from November 20th, 2013 to May 16th, 2018, and whereas Mr. Maxwell's professional leadership and experience provided him the skills to serve on various committees and boards, and whereas during his time on the county board, Mr. Maxwell shared his wisdom and knowledge on how important it is to have trust with the public, and whereas Mr. Maxwell's devotion to the citizens of Madison County is characterized by a commitment to excellence in providing the highest level support to all, now, therefore, I, Kurt Prenzler, Chair of the County Board of Madison County, Illinois, with great appreciation and respect, commend Brad Maxwell in recognition for his years of service and lasting contributions to Madison County, adopted the 16th day of May 2018. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
If you could.
As any good politician, I obviously have a prepared speech that will last with no less than 4 or 5 hours. But those of you that know me know that that is not the true case. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I want to thank the people of District 11 for the opportunity to serve them for the last 4+ years and represent them on the Madison County Board. While I regret the fact that I'm unable to fulfill my term as a Madison County Board member, I look forward to continuing to serve the people of Madison County in the future. It has been a great honor and privilege to serve on behalf of the people, and for you that know me well, that are aware of my schedule, especially during baseball season. And as the board members all chuckle, we spend a significant amount of time at the baseball field. You know that it would not be possible without great support from my family. My wife is one of the smartest things that I've ever actually achieved. She keeps me straight, and as the old saying goes, behind every good man is a great woman. Well, I have one. And I give her great thanks to all that she's done, supporting not only me but the county. The fact that I'm on time, that I'm at committees, and those types of things, I give great credit to my wife for that. She's the reason the wheels don't come off. She's the reason that I have the ability to do so many great things and to serve the people of Madison County. And on behalf of Maria, myself, and my family, I thank you all.
Thank you, Brad. I would like to now move to the appointments, and all of these appointments will be considered separately. And to begin with, I would invite County Board Member Tom McRae to make the motion.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
I ask that item number 2 be voted on separately.
I'm already planning to do all separately. All. Okay. Very good. Mr. McRae.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to nominate Dalton Gray to succeed Brad Maxwell on the county board.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Gray, if you could please come forward to be sworn in.
Madison County Board.
District 11.
District 11.
In the County of Madison.
In the County of Madison.
State of Illinois.
State of Illinois.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties
of member of the Madison County Board.
Of member of the Madison County Board.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Next,
we'll
Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes. I would entertain a motion to appoint Charlotte Dixon to a 5-year term on the Metro East Sanitary District Board. We have a motion, Mr. Asadorian.
Is this not Gussie's district? Is this Gussie's district we're talking about?
We have several county board members who have parts of the Metro East Sanitary District, more than several. It's a large area. So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Ms. Hawkins, we have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Helen, I need you to second.
Oh, here, Helen.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I see Dr. Hightower as, and I hadn't talked to him about this, but bullet point number 4 is providing a public explanation as to why MESD board members are receiving full health care benefits when they only meet once a month at a time when such critical infrastructural repairs are needed, and the MESD board was planning to impose a 66% increase on the citizens.
Mr. McCray, I think I already called for a roll call vote. So I'm going to call for a roll call because I did ask for discussion and we didn't have any. So I'd ask for a roll call at this time.
Okay, I'm going to change my vote for the record. I hit the wrong button, so I'll hit confirm. But my vote should be no.
Motion fails. Next, we have... if I could have a motion to recommend for appointment to a 3-year term, Bob Meyer, replacing Jeremy Plank on the Madison County Flood Prevention District. Hearing no motion? It fails. I would entertain a motion for Kevin Babb, who is recommended for appointment to complete the remaining term of Tom Long, who has resigned from the Madison County Flood Prevention District.
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion?
Yes. I have a discussion.
Yes, Mr. McCray.
Your decision to remove Jeremy Plank from the flood district, and I suppose, and this is, and you're replacing Mr. Babb with Mr. Long, who's resigned. The reason you gave for me was that you said that levy district money, which is a sales tax, that my understanding is that levy district money is supposed to be used just for levies. Mr. Plank concurs with that. You disagree with that, and you think that it can be used for other flooding issues. Correct? Am I?
We do have in the statute, which is, and I would refer you also to Matt Brandmeier, who's director of our Planning and Development Division. It's clear in the statute that the sales tax money that's been collected for almost a decade can be used for levy protection and also for flood prevention.
Okay, well, have you got a legal opinion? Have you asked Mr. Gibbons for a legal opinion as to how we can use that money? Because that's matching funds.
We haven't done anything, but okay. That to answer your question, that's my interpretation.
Okay. As a layman, that's your interpretation. But have we had a legal, because this is matching funds for federal money, and we're talking about millions and millions of dollars, and the first nickel that you spend – If you were stacking a board,
Mr. McCray, I think the discussion that you're having now is really not germane to the appointment of Mr. Babb. And so, if you would like to speak to the appointment of Mr. Babb,
I will. So does Mr. Babb believe the same way that
I
you
don't
do?
Know?
Okay. Well, then I think we need to find out. And I would like to ask Mr. Gibbons for a legal opinion on the how that levy money can be utilized, if it's just for the levies or if it can be used for other things. I'm perfectly good if our lawyers agree that it can be used for other things, that's okay with me. But I don't want to have a board that's going to push the envelope, as you said, and use it for other things, because I think we're inviting a lot of legal trouble that we don't need to have.
Any other discussion regarding
he just the asked appointment for a statement of attorney from Mr. Gibbons. Babb?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, is there a way that we can just postpone this? Because I have the same questions. It's my understanding that the chairman of the committee is is an attorney as well, and he wasn't sure about that rule. And so until we can get that aspect done, I would prefer to not fill positions with people that may feel an obligation to an individual rather than to
If you would
role.
Like to make a motion to postpone it until next month.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to postpone this.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'm not an attorney, but I can tell the people here that when this bill was written, I was able to sit in on the writing of the bill. I missed one of the 7 or 8 meetings with Senator Hain, Claiborne, Frank Watson, and Dave Luckenfeld were the 4 people that wrote this bill. And I can tell you that it was very cantankerous. Those 4 gentlemen worked well together. It was one of the very few times I can tell you in Springfield that it was a very bipartisan bill. I mean, we had a few people didn't like some of the bills. One of the things that Senator Hain and Senator Watson wanted to make sure was that we had minority representation. I apologize, that's not the term I meant, but they made sure that the majority party of the county got 2 picks and the minority party got 1 because of some of the things that have happened throughout levy districts through the state of Illinois, and they didn't want that to happen. I can tell you this, there was never any discussion in any of these meetings about any of this money going anywhere but to the repairs of this levy. This bill was written to be done for up to 25 years or until the repairs of the levies were done, which means if government's probably never going to come in under, but if for some reason it came in under, then that tax would come off as soon as the last bond is paid. And the most it can go to is 25 years. And, yes, they do have a little bit of money stashed away, but in my view, my fear is that somehow the Corps is going to come up with a little bit higher estimate, which it's government, why wouldn't they, that these levies are going to take. And I understand that the need for doing some repairs in some of these districts in Madison County. However, when I just talked to one of the senators a little while ago when this came up, and they said there was absolutely nothing in there about this money going to anybody other than repairing the levees along Madison, St. Clair, and Monroe County. Now, again, I'm not an attorney. Unless somebody slipped something in there at the last minute that we did not see, then my view is this money goes directly to the repairs of the levees. And then once they're paid off, the tax goes away.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to postpone.
I would hope that we would do that.
Yeah. I shortly after Katrina, 2005, I wrote to our congressmen, all of them, and U.S. senators, how safe is our levees? And the response back, they were not safe. And so Senator Hain then did get this legislation passed, the flood prevention district. And I talked to him recently because as much as I would like to see the money be used for interior flooding, we do have a lot of problems in the bottoms. But he said, no, it is definitely for the fixing of the levees because we're talking about should something happen, massive flooding. Flood insurance comes in. FEMA warned everybody's going to have flood insurance if these levees aren't fixed, and that's why one of the important parts of this. So I thank you for your time on this.
Yes. Yeah, we did have a second, I believe. Yeah, so we have a motion to before the county board to postpone this for 1 month. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. If I could have a motion to appoint Mark Bonensteel to the 3-year term of the Marine Fire Protection District.
So moved.
Mr. Michael?
Second.
Second. Mr. Chapman? Any discussion? Roll. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. If I could have a motion, Ms. Hawkins, I'd invite you to make a motion to appoint Phyllis McQuay to a 3-year term replacing Tammy Davis on the Miracle Manor Bellamore Place Light Street Light District.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we
appoint. A motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Asadorian? Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank
no.
you. Do we have a motion to appoint Ron Carnell to an appointment for a 3-year term replacing Gary Osborne, who has resigned, for the Wood River Drainage and Levee District?
Can I make a motion that we table this to the next meeting?
Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion?
This
for Carnell. Postponed to the next meeting. Mr. Walters?
Postpone.
Yes.
Did you reach out to any? I know that I live in Wood River Township, and I guess I wouldn't have expected. But did you talk to any of the people who?
I did interview two other people.
No, did you talk to any of the board members who may have had recommendations for this for the levy district?
Yes, I did. Maybe not everyone, but I did speak to some. So, I would like to just go ahead and have a roll call on that then, if we could. Well, all in favor of postponing this to the next month?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. I would then go to Ms. Harris. I'd invite you to bring in the resolution on behalf of the County Institutions Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Before you tonight is a resolution to realign the mental health board terms. This resolution passed through the County Institutions Committee unanimously, and we believe the resolution to be in the spirit of our state statute of staggering the appointment terms. I'm asking tonight for a motion to table this resolution, as there are questions to the appropriate procedure moving forward are still being researched and answered.
We have a motion and a second.
Any discussion? Chairman, point of personal privilege. Are you wanting to table, or you want it for sure to have to come up next time? Because if you want it for sure to come up next time, you should move to postpone, not to table.
I think the intention is to bring it up at the next meeting. Is that correct? Or not?
There should be a
motion to table will allow it to be brought up at any future time. It will leave it on the table until there's a motion made by a board member at the full board to take it back up. So it will allow the board to carry it over as long as is desired by the board or until such time as someone asks to take it up. It won't be required to return at any particular time.
Okay.
Might I also ask the state's attorney for a clarification? It is also my understanding, Mr. State's attorney, that to table it may also open the option of never bringing it back up, because we might not vote to bring it off the table.
You are absolutely correct, Mr. Chapman. Yes, sir.
So we have a motion.
Motion to table, please.
We have a motion to table or motion to postpone until the next meeting?
A motion to table, please.
A motion to table. Okay, so we have a motion to table on the floor and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Okay. Motion carries. Mr. Madison, on behalf of the Facilities Committee, if you could please bring in the resolution.
Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, Facilities Management Committee and the Finance and Government Operations Committee has one resolution, a resolution to award the contract for the jail renovation project at the Madison County Jail. This is for a total of, the low bidder was Plocker Construction of Highland, Illinois, for a total of $13,149,000, plus a 10% contingency to help cover unknowns and change orders, bringing the total jail project to $14,314,450, and I move for its adoption.
We have a second.
Second.
Mr. Wesley, any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I have a few statements I'd like to make about the project just to help everybody out, especially newer members that may not know the history of the jail project. The jail renovation project has been going on for approximately 5 years, but no work has begun. The original jail project was estimated at $18.7 million, with interest bringing it approximately to somewhere between $21 to $23 million, a lot of numbers.
Mick, could you speak into your microphone a little more, please?
I'm sorry?
We're having trouble hearing you back here.
Oh, okay, sorry. So that would have brought the project upwards of $23 million with interest. Since the new $9.2 million bipartisan project that was voted on and passed by our previous administration, it was underestimated by the architect, and the real project numbers came in 43% higher than the architect estimated. Had that original project that we were originally going to do come in 43% higher, which it very well could have, that project would have possibly been around $35 million with interest, more or less. The current project now, the $14 million project, is 60% less than the number that I just mentioned, using the $35 million figure, and we will have no interest. And if you want to use the $23 million figure without the 43% underestimation, we would still be 40% less than that with this new contract that Facilities Management and the Finance Committee have both unanimously voted in. This project it's a little confusing. The project has 8 phases. It was designed and bid by contractors from the $1.2 million investment that we made previously in the plans through this prior administration, and they were working with the drawings that we purchased for $1.2 million. The base bid includes the first 4 phases. The women's cell block begins in phase 3. The men's cell block begins in the final phases. This project was never designed to be completed in sections with work stoppages in between. That's not what we mean by phases. It was designed to be completed in one single project time frame with one contractor, without the contractor moving out and back in multiple times, and it will have 8 phases of progress overall. We made sure that we had enough money. We heard from the Finance and Government Operations Committee, the Treasurer's Office, and Doug Hume. There was representation from the Auditor's Office at the final with the committee meeting where we had the final vote, and that person was given the opportunity to speak and didn't speak. So I assumed that everything was okay. The budget will be tight for a couple of years. We should be fine based on the information we've been given from all who were consulted. And there may be some additional revenue coming in for some possible surplus property sales. We also have money in our own funds that we could probably borrow from if necessary and promptly pay them back. Lawsuits have become an expensive issue in this matter because of certain conditions at the jail concerning mold and water leakage and sewer backups into the showers. And inmates have fired just last year alone upwards of $275,000. And if that happens every year, in just 4 years, it's $1 million plus. I only have 1 year data, so I can't really say anything further back. I can say this. Chairman Prinsler attended none of the Facilities Committee meetings. When he learned what the low bid project was, he told me personally that it was a great savings for the taxpayers. He never asked me one question about the project being completed in sections with time between the sections. Had the chairman come to these meetings, he could have asked that we design this project to be done in phases with work stoppage gaps between phases. County Administrator Doug Hume only attended one meeting regarding the jail project recently, where we had the final vote. Mr. Hume stated that we had the money. He later stated that the auditor had some issues but those issues were never brought to my attention by the auditor's office. It was irresponsible for the chairman to go to the press and to say that this project should not be done because it's too costly without ever going to the facilities committee or the committee chairman, which is myself, when the project will cost drastically less money than the original project, and without asking important questions for important information that he should have known first. The time that was in the time for that was in the meetings that he and the county administrator should have been attending. This project is not really in the discussion phase any longer, except as to whether or not to approve this project after much discussion and price cutting has gone into it, as was requested. It has now gone out for real bids by real contractors, spending their own time and their own real money to complete. We do not want to send a message to potential bidders that this is how we want to do business at Madison County. We won't receive any bids if we act in such an erratic manner. I believe it is way past time this project gets started. Repairs are badly needed, and it is our obligation to take care of the buildings that the taxpayers own. Thank you for your consideration.
Yes, Mr. Asadorian.
Yeah, just a question, and I believe the other project you were talking about, Mr. Madison, included the constructing of more square footage and that type of thing compared to what we're doing here, and that's the necessary repairs to avoid liability issues. Is that correct?
I'm not sure I understand the question, Mr. Asadorian.
Let me make it clear. The two projects that you were discussing, the $23 million project,
okay,
and this project, the $23 million project also included a Sallyport and some other new space.
It did, yes.
Okay, and this is just basically making the repairs so that we.
Yes, this is the okay. This is the project where the costs were cut. So to come back and say now it's too much, we need to cut costs, we've already done that.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure people knew that.
Thank you.
When you said the $23 million, it was actually including construction of more of the facility.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. There were a lot of extra things in the original project that were taken out to reduce costs significantly. As you can see, going from $18.7 million and no interest down to $14.3 million with no interest is significant by itself. If you consider the underestimation by the architect, that number grows considerably. So we're looking with interest at approximately a 60% cut in the previous project, what it would have actually been had we gone out for bid for it.
Yes, Mr. Malone.
I'm one of the few members who have been in this process from day one, and I have to agree with Mr. Madison. It's time to do something. We've been talking about this for years and years and years. We've all toured the jail. We know it's in desperate need. We did all the cut costs that we could possibly do in my mind. I'm not an architect. I'm not an engineer. But we kept going back to the drawing table time after time after time to look for cost savings. And I think we're at the point where this we've got to move.
Mr. Chapman.
As a member of the Judiciary and Finance Committee, Mr. Chairman, I support the jail renovation to ensure a future safe environment for inmates and staff. That's the issue for me. The jail renovation enjoys bipartisan support, including from Republicans like me who fought the $28 million jail bond issue. The current scaled-back project makes sense. I toured the building in depth, and it needs repair to plumbing and other infrastructure. These repairs are overdue, as preventive maintenance was not performed by the previous administration. Despite objections that this project is too expensive by the administration, actually it saves the county $22 million over the costs of the jail bond issue, given the previous engineer's estimates being millions of dollars too little. The jail bond would cost $36 million, $14 million from 36 equals $22 million in savings, or 60% less. The administration's complaint that it costs too much makes a good soundbite, but does not bear scrutiny. In fact, if the administration felt it costs too much, perhaps they might have stated that in the Finance Center committee meeting, the Judiciary, or the Facilities meeting. To express this concern now is a day late and a dollar short. At this juncture, it seems time to take action on the jail in a bipartisan matter. It will cost more to abort than to go ahead. I might add, I have been asking for a plan to effectively utilize all of our properties and to focus on repairs in certain buildings so that we know where we're going as a county, and to divest ourselves of unnecessary properties so that we can pay for needed improvements. I've been yet to see this, and again, I call on it most urgently on the administration to do this.
Call for the vote.
Mr. Chairman, I have something I'd like to say. I'm 100% for the project.
Well, we have three in front of you.
Oh, sorry.
And I would at this point call for a vote. I'll agree with that. So I'm calling for a roll call. Roll call.
I'm not sure that that's proper. I thought, as
I'm
board members,
we should have an opportunity.
I would like to speak on the issue.
We've had a call for a roll call, and I've agreed with that.
Doesn't mean
I'd like to
vote.
Hear from Auditor Fasten on the issue, too.
I would like to speak as a board member. I was elected to do so.
We're now voting. We've had a call for a roll call, and
I
agreed with that.
Point of parliamentary procedure, I would like a readout from our state's attorney. It seems to me that just because someone calls for a vote doesn't necessarily mean we go into it. Matter of fact, there has to be a vote to curtail discussion that is agreed upon by the county board. No one can unilaterally just call for a vote without
the
there
motion.
Being a vote on that.
Each member gets an opportunity.
I don't think that I need to render an opinion because Mr. Chapman has already accurately laid out the parliamentary procedure on it.
Yes, Mr. Parkinson.
Yeah, I was appalled when I read your article that you and Doug wrote in a paper that I read yesterday. After the work that was done by the Facility Management Committee and the Finance and Government Operations, along with the Treasurer's Office, along with the Mr. Fasten's office, the Sheriff's Department, and the amount of work that went into it by a bipartisan board, and then to have the legs cut out from underneath all that work by political nonsense in a paper was appalling. And I'm very proud of this board for coming together and doing what's right for the people that are locked up in the jail, and for Madison County as a whole. I'm very proud of the Democrats and Republicans on this board for coming together and doing what's right.
Mr. Petrillo?
If I could, I'd like to call upon Mr. Fasten, now that he's had an opportunity to see the numbers and that, if he could give us some kind of an idea of how this affects us.
Sure. Well, first of all,
Ms. Gorman, did you want to speak? Okay, do we have any?
Michael, I'm sorry. I'm 100% for the project, and I thank the Facilities Committee and everybody that's worked on this very much. I really mean that. My concern is just with the sources of funding, and we have $10.8 million of projects slated to go forward this year that we approved as a committee and as a board, and there's $11.2 million in the Capital Projects Fund, so that means we have $400,000 of surplus. But this project calls for another $9.5 million. So you're roughly $8.5 to $9 million short. So the only proposal I've seen, which I've only seen one scenario, is that we transfer $3 million from the operating cash fund and then $5.5 million from the general fund. I understand the operating cash fund transfer. I think it makes 100% sense. That's what that money should be used for. But if we take $5.5 million from the general fund and transfer it to capital projects. I'm pretty sure that brings us right at the minimum that we're allowed to have, correct? Right, you're shaking your head. So that means, think about it, in the last year, I think we had to transfer about $3.5 million to SLEP, right, and about $1.5 for the ECHO plan. That means we could not do that again. That would not be allowed. So I'm not convinced that it's the most responsible thing to transfer almost all of our surplus in the general fund to fund the project. I'm for this project, but I think we need to maybe look at scaling back other projects so that we can put the jail at the highest priority. That's my opinion. I'd like to see another scenario. Maybe we only transfer $2 million to the general fund, and then we push back $3 million other projects. I just don't know if we go all in on every single project is the most responsible thing to do. I don't think I'd do it on my house or my business. I wouldn't run it that way. I'd like to hear other people's thoughts. I don't know, but that's my feeling.
The facilities committee would be happy to look at that, Dave.
You know, like, I'm for the project. I'm not saying anything negative about the project. I'm talking about the sources of funding of transferring $5.5 million from the general fund to do this. Plus, I don't even know how can we approve a project when we don't even have the current money in the fund to do it. We literally don't have the money in the fund to do it.
Mr. McRae.
Well, I share Mr. Michael's concerns, but I do believe that it's going to be tight for the next couple of years. We do anticipate the Plum Street property selling at some point. I believe we just recently had a bid that came in a little lower than we were hoping for, and it's going to be a rebid. But I think we can anticipate about $7 million, $5 to $7 million from the Plum Street property being five being on the low side. I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we want to speak very much more about if that would affect our negotiating on that property.
Well,
I think
okay.
That's what Mr. Malone is saying.
So, but I was one of the biggest. Along with Bruce, I've been here since this project first ensued. The discussion over, but the $10 million number really was a compromise, and to get a bare bones project, that's the number we were kind of looking at, and unfortunately, it came in, as Mr. Madison said, about 43% higher than we had anticipated. But we are using all cash. We are the concern initially was we were going to bond the entire project. And at this point, we're using all cash. We are not paying interest to any bondholders. And, yes, it may be tight, especially in 2020. But hopefully we'll have other income, as I discussed, coming in, and I think we can cover it. And the other thing, too, is, you know, I do think people would be surprised, Kurt, that you weren't at a single meeting. And then we have a...
want to address that, Mr. McRae, after you're finished.
We have, you know, policy by press release. And that's not fair, because we worked really hard on this. We spent hours and hours and hours in meeting after meeting in finance and in the buildings committee trying to, as Mr. Malone said, to get a good product with the best bang for the Madison County taxpayers. Nobody wants to spend money on a jail. Nobody in this room wants to spend a dime on it. Unfortunately, we have to. The cells are a source of lawsuits from the prisoners, and they can become a danger to the deputies and the jailers. And so I'm in complete support of this project, and I think we need to move forward. Thank you.
I just want to address what Mr. McRae, because he didn't state that correctly. I was in the last finance committee meeting, and I did state my concern on going forward with the entire project. And it was my desire to go forward on the first part of the project, take a breather, see where the county is. This is a huge expenditure of cash. And that was my concern that I did speak out and express that in the finance committee meeting. My apologies to Mr. Madison. I did not talk to Mr. Madison, and he's done excellent work in the facilities committee, but it's regarding the financing of this project and the timing of the cash withdrawals that I expressed my opinion on. Ms. Champulli.
Yes, sir. Again, I'm disappointed with your press release. What Tom is saying is correct. We are looking at alternative funding through different revenue sources, through the host funds, through Ameren, and looking at different avenues to help pay. Yes, we may have to cut back on some of the other projects that are earmarked to go forward. I am literally disappointed that on May 8th, I was sent text messages from your administration, from Doug, and that at the last minute, when I feel that you all should have done your due diligence throughout the entire project to help with funding sources, and not just the finance committee and board members doing your job. For you to come out last minute to me is a political move. If the project goes well, great, you'll say you helped put people in place. If the project goes bad, then you're going to sit there and say that, oh, I told them not to go forward that with the project. Again, I think the board is taking the responsibility on its shoulders, and you're trying to skate free. We will take our responsibility. Yes, it will be tight. I think we've found other funding sources. And again, our committee in finance voted for it unanimously, and I second what Mr. Madison said, and I will vote for this project to move forward.
Mr. Asadori.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members. This project's going to take time. We're going to be going through a couple of fiscal years of income. So, you know, we're going to pay for it as we go along, and moving money around or however the finance committee can see us doing it, it's going to happen. We all know it's going to happen. But the main thing is it needs to happen. So we need to move on with this.
Mr. Minner.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I've been convinced for several years that for safety factors, lawsuits, and other things, that we definitely need to address this jail issue. Have you ever went through the jail and looked at all the problems that we have?
Not recently, but I have.
You have. Have you, Doug?
Going through the jail? No, I haven't. No.
Well, if you go through it, you're convinced that there are many problems in there, and they could be dangerous.
So. Jack, I don't disagree with you. There's problems. It's just about paying for it.
Doug, you never went through the jail?
Okay, yes. Mr. Michael?
Yes. I just want to reiterate, I'm good. I'm confident with moving forward as long as if Mr. Madison and his committee will relook at the other $5.4 million in capital projects and try to defer or give us another option in the next month or two to not spend all $5.4 million of the other projects right now. Are you good with that?
We will definitely look into that.
All right. I'm confident then.
Yes, Mr. Walters, did you want to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Listening to this, I've been on judiciary for a while, and I've been a big proponent of doing the jail. And if I get another phone call from Captain Decker, I'm going to shoot myself. Mr. Decker, or Captain Decker, has done a wonderful job of keeping me abreast on this. The people on the facilities management board that have been there have done a wonderful job. I was on the board for just for a short time. One of the things that really hit home to me was when Rob Schmidt had indicated that we had work orders for the jail back to 2007. 2007, we had done not done a work order. That when this happened, that was 10 years ago. This is what happens when you have people that don't take care of what they own. It's like when I give my kids something, take care of it. And what do they usually do? Yeah, I will. And they mostly do, but sometimes they don't. And had we had people that were able to do their jobs, and I do not blame anybody in the facility management department at all. They were overworked. However, if we had been able to start those projects in 2007, when they were asked for, we would not be in the situation we are here. We need to be adults and take care of what we have. Prior to this, we weren't doing that. Again, nobody on facilities management knew anything about this. I do not hold any of them responsible because we weren't told everything that was going on in the county. Had we done this in 2007, we wouldn't be spending $14 million right now. Nobody wants to talk about what happened prior. I'm sorry. That's the reason why we're here today. And I hope under Rob Schmidt's tenure that we will start taking care of our buildings so that in 10 years from now, we're not looking at spending $10 million on this building. I believe this project needs to go through. The Sheriff's Department, I have been talking to them for years. This is pretty much bare bones for what they're asking. And I've been through that. I walked in between one of the cells, and I think I was in there for less than a second, and I literally almost lost my lunch. it was that bad. So I'm asking that we vote for this. We have the means to do it. I agree with Mr. Michael. We may have to pare some of the other things back, but this project needs to get done. We need to take care of nothing else, the jailers that are in there and the people that work in there, and get this done so that they're not getting sick like the prisoners. So I'm asking for an aye vote on this, and thank you for listening.
I think everyone's been given an opportunity to speak once. I'm calling for a roll call. Mr. Petrillo, I think you've spoken already, Mr. Chapman, so I'm going to call for a roll call. Yes, Ms. Hawkins?
Oh, yeah. The old saying, a stitch in time saves nine. I would have seen, as was just mentioned, these things taken care of, like our homes. You can't let things go on forever. The longer that you wait, the more costly it is. So I'm in favor of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Roll call. Motion carries. Ms. Champoli, if you could please bring in on behalf of the Finance Committee the summary report of claims and transfers.
Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, Finance and Government Operations Committee brings in the summary reports of claims and transfer. I move for its adoption.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Holliday, if you could please present the, on behalf of the Health Department Committee, bring in the activities report.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the board, I ask that the activity report be placed on file as presented. I also have a few items I'd like to bring up. Year to date, we've had 1,007 food inspections conducted in the county. We've had 1,564 immunizations administered. We've had 384 cases of chlamydia. We've had 108 cases of gonorrhea. And we've had 147 cases of hepatitis C cases investigated. Just some information about the health in the county.
Thank you very much. Mr. Goggin, on behalf of the Information Technology Committee, could you please bring in the resolutions?
Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, we have three resolutions for your consideration. A resolution reappropriating fiscal year 2017 budget to fiscal year 2018 budget for information technology storage array network. A resolution to purchase Cisco switches for the Madison County Information Technology Department. And a resolution to purchase annual ArcGIS software maintenance contract renewal for Madison County Information Technology Department. And I move for their adoption.
We have a second?
Yes.
Any discussion?
I have a question.
Yes.
Are any of these going to require any training that may need, like, training to run any of these systems? Are these new systems, old systems? We're going to have to send anybody to training or anything to learn this system?
I don't believe there are.
Okay.
Some memory and some switches and a renewal of software. So I don't anticipate new.
All right. Thank you, Jamie.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Madison, on behalf of the Planning and Development Committee, could you please bring in the resolutions?
Mr. Wesley, I believe, was going to do that.
Oh, Mr. Wesley, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you, and fellow board members. Tonight we have two resolutions for the Planning and Development Committee. One is a zoning resolution for Z18-0016. Z18-0021, Z18-0022, and Z18-0026. The second resolution is a resolution authorizing demolition of unsafe buildings and structures. And I might clarify that Z18-0022 is a denial, and a yes vote would deny that resolution, if I'm correct.
Are you asking to separate them, Mr. Wesley? If you're asking for a different...
Are you asking to separate that resolution?
No. No, the Z18-0022 was denied in committee, and a yes vote would be affirming that denial.
Any discussion?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, on, Mr. Assadorian.
On protocol. If I want to discuss one of these resolutions, do we need to separate it out, or can I just discuss it as it's part of a
If you'd like to
package?
Vote on it separately, you can request it to be separated.
If you don't mind, I'd like to separate out number 21.
21, okay. Would you like to speak to that, Mr. Assadorian?
Yes. In reading this, you know, again, we're talking about variances, and we want to change, we want to rezone basically from agriculture to residential. And it says also variances for an existing barn that is to stable horses to be 2 feet from the west and east property lines instead of the required 50 feet. You know, 2 feet is the width of this desk. 50 feet might be from that wall to that wall. That's a little bit of a difference. And to have 3 horses on 0.49 acres instead of the required 3 acres. Now, you know, we've discussed these variances for the last 2-3 months now, and I think everybody knows how much I feel about variances, but again, we're going from 50 feet required to 2 feet, and we're going from 3 acres of ground required for horses to 1/2 acre. You know, at what point does this stop? At what point do we not get one that says, I want to build on the property line, and I want 7 horses on a 40 by 40 square foot piece of property? At what point do we not allow these variances that aren't variances, they're a complete rewrite of the zoning laws? You know, and to anybody on the committee, if you can explain to me the reasoning why you feel that this is okay to do this.
Yes, Mr. Petrillo, and we're discussing number 21, is that correctly?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And then
yes,
also, this was an approval. This was not a denial. Is that correct? Yeah, so this was an approval. Go ahead, Mr. Petrillo.
If I may, I would like to call on Mr. Brandenburg to give kind of a brief explanation of why we came to this conclusion.
Brandenburg?
Did I say Brandenmeier? Brandenmeier?
I would say to Mr. Assadorian.
Oh, you noticed he came anyway, though, didn't he?
Aren't they did?
Three syllables.
We know what you meant.
So, the committee had a lot of discussion about this. I think the prevailing concern is that this is in that part of State Park, they back up to the highway. They have very deep lots. A lot of people have horses, and I think that it's probably due to the proximity of, Fairmont Park next door. So there's a zoning condition that just because the district standards are there, it's a zoning condition for that stretch of State Park where I think the community is in agreement as far as what their standards are. So having a horse on a smaller lot is acceptable to the neighbors. It's acceptable to, from what we see, everyone along the street. And I think that was kind of the prevailing condition as far as what the P&D committee discussed. The other one, the setback, the 2-foot setback, I would never recommend or suggest that for a new structure. So I don't think, if anyone proposed that that much of a setback for a 0-lot line or a 2-foot lot line would not be a good idea, and I would recommend denial of that. This is an existing structure that the neighbor seems to be okay with. The only reason why the 50-foot is required is because they're storing horses in that structure. If there were no horses present, then the setback would only be 5 feet, so they would be very close to meeting it. So the reduction isn't actually that much. So that is the – I'm pretty sure I'm capturing the conversations that the committee had.
That structure was already there then?
Yes.
They just, they're just bringing horses onto the property?
No, the horses are there also. All of these are existing conditions. They were under violation. We developed essentially a plan to get them to the correct zoning, but obviously there's variances. Not everything works, you know, with our district standards. Not everything's a neat fit, so sometimes variances are necessary.
Thank you.
If I'm not mistaken, Mr. Brandmeier, there are public hearings held on each one of these.
Yes, on site.
And the public is invited, and on this particular one, I don't believe there was any opposition whatsoever from the neighbors. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Matt?
The other thing, too, it says it's a five-year special. You may have said this. Is this a five-year?
Well, for the mobile home. The other conditions would be would run with the land, essentially.
Gotcha. To answer Mr. Asadorian, Art, maybe this will help you out. Look, I wasn't at the meeting. I was in California where my new grandbaby was being born. Sorry, I had to throw that in. But it looks like one family, at least it was a couple that had the same last name, brought in two different properties for rezoning or variances, and one was approved and one was denied. So sometimes they are denied, and that's when you see those things. They do happen. We do deny things on occasion when they're not going to work out.
Any other discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Questions? Yes.
Mr. Brandmeier, Mr. Asadorian mentioned that the requirement is 3 acres for three horses. If that's accurate, it seems like kind of a small parcel for three horses. And number two thought on that is, what's to stop them going for more than three if they had four or five horses? Would there be any kind of monitoring of that?
Well, yes. And we conduct regular code enforcement sweeps of State Park, and we would likely notice that there was more activity. Per the variance, they would be limited at three. Yes. And I tend to agree that half an acre is probably too small, but like I said, it seems to be the condition in that part of the county. There's several places that have horses on their properties that don't meet the standard, but they seem to be fine with it. The horses seem fine. They maintain their properties. So it's not like your typical kind of like homestead, you know, rural property. This is, it's state park. It's on a developed street, but they seem to be okay with it.
Call for the question.
Just if I could, one closing thought, Mr. Parkinson, if I could. I think this, I'm a little concerned about that answer, but because it could set a precedent where all of a sudden becomes a known fact that Madison County will approve half-acre parcels for three horses or something along that lines. So it has me a little bit concerned with setting this as a precedent.
Well, this is a horse community kind of, right? It's kind of a horse culture.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm...
Okay. Are we voting on 1 and 2 with the exception of 21?
I understand we're discussing 21. Is that right?
But we're voting on all of them combined.
So you no longer want it separated?
No, I never did want it separated. I just wanted to be able to discuss it.
I would like
discussing
to ask
21, correctly.
21 be separated.
Yeah. 22 is definitely separated because we're separating 21.
Okay.
22 is a denial. 21 we're separating. That's correct.
Okay. So the first vote, we're voting on 1 and 2 with the exception of file 21. Okay.
Any further discussion on 21?
Okay, which one are we voting on then?
There are going to be two votes. One will be 16, 22, and 26 together, and the other one will be 21.
And you're bringing in the resolution also. Mr. Wesley brought them both in.
Yeah, on demolition.
Perhaps to not have any confusion, we can separate that out also. We're now discussing 21. Any additional discussion on 21?
I'm going to apologize to Matt because my mind said Meyer, but my mouth said Berg. Sorry about that.
Okay. Mr. Wesley, would it be okay with you if we could vote on 21, what we've just had the discussion on first?
that would be fine. And are we also separating out 22, did you say, or no?
No, but I think no. That you just you mentioned, you told everyone that's a denial, but we're not separating out. 16, 22, and 26 will be voted on together. 21 will be separated out. And without any further discussion, if we could do a roll call in 21.
Are we voting on number 2 resolution as well?
No. If we could just separate out the resolution also. So just if we could just vote on 21.
Well, I'm talking about resolution number 2, authorizing demolition of unsafe buildings.
If we could do that next, do okay. That separately. Okay. So if we're now voting on 21. We have a roll call on 21. Motion carries. Now we do have also the resolution 16, 22, and 26. Mr. Wesley mentioned that 22 is a denial. Any desire to break these out, consider these separately? Any discussion? If not, roll call. We also have a resolution authorizing the demolition of unsafe buildings and structures. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Mr. Wesley. Oh, motion carries. Mr. Wesley, are you also bringing in the resolution to award the contract for certified household hazardous wastes?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and fellow board members. Planning and Development Committee has a resolution authorizing a resolution to award a contract for certified household hazardous waste contractor fiscal year 2018, and I ask for its adoption. Thank you.
Any discussion? Okay, we're voting.
While we're voting, does that include paint?
Yes.
Good.
Okay, motion carries. Okay. Ms. Glasper, on behalf of the Public Safety Committee, could you please bring in the resolution?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and fellow board members. The Public Safety Committee, along with the Finance and Government Operations Committee, we have one resolution, and it's a resolution to purchase Cold Red Weather Warning Service and Cold Red Services Agreement Extensions for the Madison County Emergency Management Agency, and I move for its adoption.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Chapman, on behalf of the Real Estate Tax Cycle Committee, could you please bring in the resolutions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the board, I move the tax resolution unanimously approved by the Tax Cycle Committee on Tuesday, May 8th, be approved by the County Board. What is that? I also move that we accept the resolution to approve the addendum to the Delinquent Tax Liquidation Program Professional Service Agreement for the Madison County Treasurer's Office, which was passed unanimously by the Tax Cycle Committee on May 8th.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Very good. Any new business, Mr. Futrell?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, and members of the board, in response and opposition to proposed Illinois House Bills 1465, 1467, 1468, 1469, and 1657, Iroquois, Jasper, Saline, Jefferson, Effingham, and Monroe counties have adopted resolutions to protect its residents' Second Amendment rights. Just last week, Monroe County Sheriff commended the Monroe County Board for voting to make Monroe County a sanctuary county. And with the support of our own state's attorney, Mr. Gibbons, thank you for your support. And speaking with him about this today, and may I add, last night, Christian County became the most recent county to adopt a gun sanctuary resolution. And last night, the State Journal Register reported that Christian County State Attorney Mike Havera said, the resolution is symbolic and does not trump any federal, state, or local laws, an opinion also shared by our own state's attorney. It lets our legislators know the county values its Second Amendment rights. An action by this board would be no different than the action taken, an opinion used by Mr. Gibbons in 2013 after a federal court required Illinois to scrap its concealed carry prohibition. At that time, Mr. Gibbons said it was his obligation as a prosecutor and each citizen's obligation to make sure that we are respecting each other's rights and that we are doing everything we can within reasonably legal means to protect and defend the rights of all citizens, no matter what that right may be. Next month, I hope to be able to present this board with a resolution that has the support of this board, the support of the state's attorney, Mr. Gibbons, thank you again, and the county sheriff. Madison County needs to send a message to our legislators so they know we value our Second Amendment rights. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
I think Mr. Malone was next. Yes, Mr. Malone,
Mr.
any new
Madison
business?
Slipped his grandchild in, I'd be remiss if I didn't slip mine in. I have a new grandson also.
Ms. Nabosich.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members. I'd just like to take this opportunity right now to thank our Madison County Sheriff's Department. It is Police Appreciation Week, and I think we should acknowledge that and thank them for their service.
Any other new business?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Sorry. Ms. Kuhn?
Yes. What James was talking about on the Second Amendment, I guess I need to ask the state's attorney about this, but several years ago, I had tried taking a non-binding resolution to the county, and I think it was a 3-4 vote. What's the difference between that and what James is talking about? Do you know? It was a non-binding, and it passed. There's 102 counties, and I don't know the number, but the majority of counties did pass it. But we never did get it to the board floor. So what's the difference?
Well, I don't recall what that specifically
was.
That was
before you, yeah.
Okay. But if you want to talk about it, I'd be happy to look at that.
Okay.
You know, legislative bodies, you know, choose at times to pass resolutions that state the sentiment of those bodies. It's not unusual. It happens pretty across the country, so it just depends on the body itself and its determination.
Yes, Mr. Asadorian.
Yeah, actually twice that I remember, and they were basically national issues is what they were, that this body said that we don't take stands. I mean, it was pretty much adamant from everybody that we don't literally take a stand supporting or not supporting issues like that. And this would basically probably vary from our policy in the past.
Yes, any additional new business? Yes, Ms. Champulli.
Yes, just Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, I just wanted everyone to know we are having and have asked for a full investigation in reference to the animal that passed away in the cage. So I'm sure a full report will be available to the rest of the board members when it's completed.
Any additional new business? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.